B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, January 30th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check in with our social media followers to find out what classic game everyone is telling them they need to play, but they still haven't. That discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. League of Legends is officially back. The North American LCS got underway with the spring split last weekend, and there is a ton to break down.
I mean, that doesn't even say it all. There was so much happening
over
the weekend.
It's been 1 week.
I know.
It's been lit, man. I hate to bring that back, but it has.
So let's start. I want to talk about the technical setup that they have, right? Yeah. So LEC started a week ago.
They got Alienware backing them now, isn't
they
that
do.
Right?
Yeah. The European region started a week ago, and they had no end of technical problems. I think, like, on day one, I think every game was affected by a technical problem. At least.
And
I mean, not badly, but, you know, to some extent.
Right, and we even reported on the Fnatic match that had to be restarted.
Yes, it was a mess.
It seemed like it was plagued with all kinds of problems.
Now, to their credit, LEC Weekend 2 went much smoother. Mm-hmm. A lot of those problems were ironed out, but NALCS, man, it went pretty smooth for their first week.
Well,
really?
Not only that, I mean, the transitions between the desk team and down to the floor and your transitions from picks and bans into the game, everything was very seamless. The production quality was really good. The stage, the set that they're on is beautiful.
And that's where we talk about, you know, the Alienware partnership coming in. This happened, you know, very close to the beginning of the season. It was announced that Alienware had partnered with NALCS. We don't know how far back that might have happened.
Sure.
So we can only speculate as to how much influence Alienware actually has on it, but we're seeing a esport that was already a pretty high quality broadcast take it up to the next level. And I mean, maybe, Nate, I would need to get your opinion on what would be, you know, TV ready. But I watched the NALCS broadcast now, and I think this is ready to be on ESPN.
Now, I have a quick question for you.
Okay.
Do you think that this had anything to do with OWL coming in and in its first season setting such a high bar when it came to professional presentation? Listen, taking nothing away from League's previous presentations, because they've always been professional, they've always been
very
good.
High quality, yeah.
But I feel like this has pushed League into a much more professional realm.
I'll say this. If they say that it didn't play a factor, they'd be lying.
That's it. You'll never get anyone to admit that out loud. But I think absolutely. They looked at OWL. They saw, wait a minute, the OWL Grand Finals were on ESPN. How come our Grand Finals, you know what I mean? Like,
have never been on ESPN.
Right. We need to be able to up the game a little bit. And I think that's what they did. The big thing that stuck out for me was at the beginning of every match, after picks and bans are locked in, and while they have that kind of down period as they're waiting for the map to load up, that's always been kind of a sticking point for LCS, because it's a good minute and a half that they have to kill there.
Sure.
So, you know, they do what they've always done, where they have the coaches walk across and shake hands and they leave. But then they also now have a vignette that plays where each of the laners, it shows each player and them kind of like doing something for the camera and, you know, getting to show off their personality.
Sure.
And that is a big thing. Like, when you get to see Double Lift, like, come on and be all smarmy and smirky and motion to the other player and saying they're trash.
Yeah, during the first game, he literally was holding a trash can and pointing to them.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's the sort of thing that I'm talking about, is because we've talked about the need for esports stars to be able to showcase personality. If we're going to become fans of these people and as more than just, you know, a fleeting interest,
sure,
we have to be able to connect with them on a personal level.
Well, and I think that's what's been that's been at the heart of the disconnect, at least for me, at events like CEO down in Daytona, where they have some of these you know, esports pros come out and kind of cut wrestling promos, and it's sort of like it's very much fish out of water, and yeah, it's very funny, and it's they're kind of cool to see, but at the same time, it's not very much, it's not very natural, right?
Well, and not like, just that, it's not woven into the apparatus. It's not woven into the fabric of the league or the eSport itself.
Yeah, right now, if you want to get that, you have to go find external sources, you know, the YouTube channels, the websites. They're not in the presentations themselves.
And perfect example, this is the same thing as like at the beginning of a football match where they have the graphics and the guys come up and say their name and what college they went to. You saw the Key and Peele.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a sort of the same thing as that, and you show off a lot of personality that way. And I think this was a really cool, it's like one of those small but great presentation changes.
And not to turn it to Overwatch, but I mean, just this week we saw the release of the LA Valiant's roster reveal, and they did a trailer, which is just the beginning of The Office.
Yeah. Which was, by the way, phenomenal.
And but that's, I mean, again, we're showing off that personality. It's more than just, hey, here's a graphic with our five players on it. It's showing, again, letting them show off a little bit of who they are.
Well, and I mean, there was the, also the ad for League, where they had the dude in the tub.
Yes, very funny. Exactly.
Hilarious.
So I want to talk for a minute about the meta that we saw, because the LCK region had really kind of propped us up for what was going to be an insane meta, where we saw a Kane pick. Really, I didn't see very much of that. I saw a lot of comfort picks.
No,
happening.
It was. You saw a lot of Galio bans. You saw Urgot banned a little bit.
But I mean, the people that we were seeing people pick were like Lucian and Lee Sin, characters who really aren't in the meta, but they're characters that players are comfortable playing. That leads me to believe that maybe the pro scene hasn't quite figured out the meta right now, so they're just going with, you know, whatever they're comfortable playing. It didn't strike me as like these are the meta picks that you must have.
No. It's definitely not there yet. You saw some interesting compositions, but they felt very safe. They felt like very safe compositions at the same time.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. We're currently going through the first round of matchups, the opening shot of NALCS this year. And
we haven't even talked results yet.
Yeah, a pretty impressive opening gambit from them. How well was it attended? How many people were watching?
Viewership good as always. I don't know the exact numbers on my head, but yeah, viewership was strong. We got to talk about some of the results, because Team Liquid is scary. Like, we knew they were going to be really good. They were good last year, and they only got better in the offseason. They beat both Cloud9 and then crushed CLG on Sunday. I mean, Core JJ is playing so good with Double Lift right now, and Jensen is a monster.
That's what I was about to bring up, is the fact that this is a team that already was the LCS champions from last year in the summer split,
yeah.
Right?
And spring.
They were already a team that was to be feared and actually really underperformed at Worlds.
They did.
You know, to be honest.
Yeah.
But they got better by adding probably one of the best mid laners in North America in Jensen. And they look, I have no clue who is going to beat them.
Yeah.
At all this split.
So if they're clearly the outliers in the North American region, what kind of scenario does this make for Worlds when it comes around?
Yeah, I mean, as always, can Team Liquid perform on the international stage when we get to MSI, when we get to Worlds?
Right.
Are they going to be able to perform there? Double Lift is, I mean, famous for choking on the world stage, so it's hard to say. I mean, you look at a team like 100 Thieves, right? 100 Thieves was better than anyone expected them to be last year. They made it to Worlds, which is impressive. They have what I think is the best roster in North America this year, but they're 0-2 after their first weekend. They played TSM and Cloud9, which are both great teams.
Good teams, but also, to be fair, their bot lane duo, Bang and Aframu, they are, you know, they have a really big language barrier that have to work out.
100 Thieves picked up two players off of SKT. They picked up Bang and Someday. And
they're world champions.
Yeah, they're former world champions. They're really good, but there's a language barrier there. I would look forward to 100 Thieves being scary good come summer. Like, right now they're dealing with trying to figure out how to play with each other. I get that. Come summertime, it could get scary. Also, TSM and Cloud9 both 1-1 after the opening weekend. It's hard to really say much about them. I mean, TSM Broken Blade looks as good as advertised. He's the guy I believe they got off the Turkish team. He was a rookie last year. They picked him up, and Yeah,
he looks really
good. Really good. Cloud Nine, again, I think they got a little bit worse.
Well, and not exactly the direction you want to go, being able to push, you know, being the only NA team to be able to push as deep into Worlds as they
semifinals,
did.
Semifinals, right? Yeah,
you would hope that they would be getting better in the offseason.
Yeah, I don't think they did.
But taking a shot, that really stinks.
Losing Jensen was devastating.
Yeah.
You know,
but by the way, we also got to mention Clutch Gaming, because totally. Clutch goes 2-0 with a win over TSM and Echo Fox. I mean, it's only week one, so who really knows, but... That's an impressive lineup to beat in the first week.
Well, I'll say the team I was most impressed with is definitely FlyQuest. They're also 2-0. And especially their second game, which I think it was against Optic Gaming. Yeah, against Optic. They were on the ropes around mid-game and completely brought it all the way back. So I'm looking out for FlyQuest, too.
We also got a couple of news bits to hit on real quick. The Spring Split's been announced. It's going to be happening in St. Louis. The finals are. This year, for the first time, there's only going to be the first and second place finals.
Like, that's really exciting. We got a lot of listeners out in St. Louis, so yeah.
Third and fourth place match is not going to be happening at the event this year. They want to put all the focus on the championship match and see who goes to the MSI.
That's smart.
And also, MSI, we also have our location. It's going to be in Vietnam this year, the home of the weird meta. I'm really excited. The MSI has been held in either the North American, European, Chinese, or Korean region every year except 2017 when it was in Brazil. It's going to be in Vietnam this year. I'm pumped.
Wow, that will be really interesting to see. That's where we're going to have to leave it. We want to hear from you. How excited are you for the return of League of Legends? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. Ahead next, we reached out to our social media followers to find out what classic game they've never played, even though everyone keeps telling them they just have to play it. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com so you can subscribe to the Checkpoint XP podcast. Robbie, what's this week on the podcast?
Well, with half the country being hit by that polar vortex, we thought we would do you a solid and give you a list of some of the best games to play while you're snowed in.
Subscribe and download free on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and the Westwood One Podcast app from Westwood One Podcast Network. Everyone's listening. You can also follow us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. This week, we asked what classic game you've never played despite all its accolades and praise and people telling you that you should check it out over and over again. I'm guilty of this a lot.
We're all guilty of this.
I'll lead this off. Resident Evil, never played any of them.
Wow, right. No, there's some really good ones.
That's, I know. And
that's pretty
the way
absurd.
That you, I liked what I saw of Resident Evil 7, still didn't buy it.
It's fair. Resident Evil 7 was great.
I love what you guys are saying about Resident Evil 2's remake. Yep. Still haven't bought it, not going to buy it, planning on buying it.
I can't blame you for the Resident Evil, because had it not been for VR, I never would have got 7 and never would have got two either,
it's a weird thing with me where if like I'm not keyed into the series from the beginning, if I feel like I'm gonna be lost, I generally just it's not my thing.
You scared?
No.
You scared?
I think you might be a little scared. Yeah,
it's
I think so.
Zombies don't bother me at all.
Trust me, the zombies are the least of your concerns. They are far from what's most scary in that game.
Wow, you sound like you've got the 1,000-yard stare when you're saying that.
A little bit, yeah.
Norris, what about you?
I don't know, man, because I feel like I play a lot of stuff, especially a lot of the older stuff. But one thing I never played that I've always wanted to and people tell me to play is Earthbound. I never played Earthbound.
Yeah.
I've never touched Earthbound either.
Same. Yeah. I have played Earthbound, although not so recently. I did it for a charity stream, mm-hmm. and it is one of those games where I was like, this one's been so hyped up and so like well talked about. I know it's going to be a disappointment.
Did it live up to all the hype?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, it was really good.
Okay.
By the end of that game, I was like, this was so ahead of its time. That's unbelievable.
That's hard to argue with.
By the way, Norris, how was Undertale?
I'm not done.
Interesting. How about that?
Joe, what about you?
Okay, I think one for me that people always talked about that I should play was Super Mario RPG, and I never touched it.
Whoa.
It's
a combination of two of the best things at the height of their power.
I never played it either.
Me either.
Yeah. Sorry.
Man, I feel like this question makes us always put our like geek cred on the line.
I know, right?
We have to admit to our biggest sins.
There are so many, but honestly, like, I mean, you
it's
can
not
even.
Like we've never played a Mario game.
Right, but right. I mean, like, Mass Effect is another one that Robbie, despite how much, positive things you say, and Joe, you picked up the series recently
I loved it.
And it makes me feel like, man, I do feel like I'm missing out, but at the same time, it's such a big investment.
It's the same way I feel about the Metal Gear series.
And I get it. I totally get it. I understand that. I sympathize with that. Robbie, what about you?
For me, Mega Man. I've never touched a Mega Man game.
Oh.
And other than the original Metroid, I've never played another Metroid
Metroid's
game.
A great one. I've never played a Metroid game.
Yeah.
You're right.
Don't forget the FCC is listening,
who are
Norris.
You people?
Yeah, the government's reopened. The FCC is listening
again.
Yeah,
right. We're not going to be able to slide anything through. God.
Norris, I'm sorry. I didn't have a Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Guys, besides when I've played with Norris on like cabinets and stuff, and here once, I've never played a Street Fighter game.
I definitely have played Street Fighter.
Yeah, I've definitely played Street Fighter. I've definitely tried to play Mega Man, but it's like the first level is so punishing.
Oh yeah, no, Mega Man's brutal.
Yeah, Mega Man is brutal. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening at our Twitch page over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Make sure you join us live so that you can respond to this question in our chat room as well as on social media. Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. Before we get to your comments, though, I got to know from Voice of the People, Sarah, what's a game that you have always been told is amazing that you just, for one reason or another, have never bothered to check out?
Now, be careful, because Norris is really close to having a stroke over here.
I'm fuming.
Yeah, this list is embarrassingly long for me, because I was not raised also on Nintendo, but I'm pretty sure the answer that's going to make everybody really mad at me is I've never finished a Final Fantasy game.
Oh no.
But you've played them.
I've attempted to, but I've never actually finished it.
Okay, no. That's different. I get it.
Norris is dying over there.
It's a lot of investment. Anyway, let's go and check out some of our responses here on social media.
Over on Facebook, Blake mentioned Zelda. He played A Link Between Worlds on 3DS and he beat it, but other than that, never really got into the series.
I am so conflicted on Zelda because I absolutely love the first two Zelda games, even the NES one I played a lot. And then I loved the SNES, A Link to the Past. But after that, I kind of fell off. Like, I didn't buy Nintendo systems after that. So, like, well, actually, no, I take it back. Ocarina and Majora's Mask.
You've actually played a few.
It was at GameCube that I fell off.
Ah. Yeah, ooh, I mean, that would be
Twilight
me.
Princess is so good.
I haven't played any
really?
Of them from
I've
Majora's
heard
2.
The exact opposite.
I love Twilight
I've heard
Princess.
The exact opposite, that Twilight Princess is a little bit boring, but that Skyward Sword is amazing.
See, I have no context for Skyward Sword, but I love Twilight Princess.
Fair enough.
Still on Facebook, Joey says Skyrim. Everybody wants me to play Skyrim, and I'm just not a fan of that style of combat.
Dude, you can play it on your toilet. Literally and figuratively.
It's actually more of a, I feel like, this sort of feat of strength that you've managed to avoid Skyrim for this long.
Kinda. How many games have you booted up and it's turned out to be Skyrim?
Skyrim, right? Even I play Skyrim.
How have you turned it off every time, man?
The thing is I don't know, I love Tamriel so much that it's like, I understand why, because it was so everywhere, but like, listen, it's still such a great game.
I'm not a fan of Skyrim like everyone else was. I enjoyed it.
I liked it. Yeah. I liked it. As an Elder Scrolls game, I thought it was fine. A little bit dumbed down from the earlier ones, but fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone else really loved it, and I was fine with that.
Yeah.
Over on Twitter, Virus Eye says, as someone who likes to go fast, any Sonic. Frankly, don't care, though.
I mean,
any Sonic?
I got news for you. If you didn't play him in the 90s on the Genesis, you can probably just let it go at this point.
You can let it go.
Yeah, yeah. So, those are the only ones worth playing.
Yeah.
One, two, three, maybe the one with Knuckles.
3D Blast.
Sonic and Knuckles was okay.
Sonic Adventure.
Sonic 3D Blast, I think, was the last one.
No, any 3D, I'm done.
Sonic Adventure was fun.
3D Blast was not actually 3D. It was the one on the Dreamcast, like the top-down weird.
Yeah, it was still not doing it.
Over on Instagram, Game Boys for Life says that he's never played Castlevania.
Ooh. Oh, that's another one I've never touched.
Oh, you're missing out.
You've got to play Castlevania.
Oh, you're missing out. You're really missing out.
I mean, Castlevania is a game that was like, the originals were great on NES, and then...
Okay, here you go. You play Symphony of the Night, you good.
I'll say this. If you don't like Symphony of the Night, you won't like any of the other.
There you go. That's fair. That's fair.
Not usually a fan of like the side-scrolling platformer type
You'll be
stuff,
a fan of Symphony of the Night.
Still on Instagram, Gunter Wenkwenk says, "Don't kill me, guys, but I have these trilogy games bought but never loaded. Bioshock, Mass Effect, Gears of War, God of War, and The Witcher."
Oh my god.
Wait, he's bought them all but never played them?
What? Bro, do you even play video games?
Literally four of the five of those is worth playing.
Gears of War, I understand.
I mean, yeah,
you can probably kick that one down the road. But yeah, no, the other ones, those are some great game series.
Bioshock, you gotta play through the Bioshock series.
Bioshock!
It's in HD. Play it.
All right, listen, that's all the time that we have. We got to leave the discussion right there, but make sure that you follow us over on social media so that you can have your voice heard on next week's question. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk. And of course, my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.